And clap now. Give it to them now. Come on. All right. We're glad they're listening. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray over the word this morning. Father God, I thank you for your word.
Amen.
I thank you that your word is life to those who find it. And it is health and healing to our flesh. Father, as we open your word today, I call that life to come. And I call that health and healing to flow. And I thank you for it, Father. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So hallelujah, we're gonna get back on here and finally finish up this one part that I've been trying to finish up. But I will not, and I refuse to, ever bog down the Holy Ghost. Amen. If he wants to say something, I'm going to let him say it. So praise the Lord. So besides, he preaches better than I do anyway. Amen. So where we kind of left off, we left off in Mark 11:24, but I want to go back to Matthew 28. So let's go to Matthew 28. I want to talk about what God gave to Jesus. Because we know that the Holy Spirit then is given to us. And remember what he said? He would declare all that Jesus has to us. Amen. So he's going to declare everything to us. Right. So we want to see what's going on here. What did God give to Jesus? So Matthew 28, and let's start in verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Remember, we've talked about that, being in the appointed place.
Amen.
Amen. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority, all authority, all authority, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we see here that God has given Jesus now all authority. We talked about that, right? So then, all authority then has been given or declared to us.
Amen.
All authority here on this earth. Yes. We have the authority. We have the power over all of it. So let's look at Acts 10. Acts 10. We'll see one more where. Acts 10 and verse 38 says this. It says, how God, who did?
God
did. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
So we know this. God goes with us.
Yes, hallelujah.
We know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what happens. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Well, if God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, then guess what? You are anointed.
Amen. I am anointed.
Say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
I am anointed. Yes, you are anointed. And the anointed one abides in you.
Amen.
Jesus himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God anointed then Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. And notice there's an and there. And power. With the Holy Spirit and power. All right. Then Jesus did something, didn't he? He went about doing good and healing
all.
He went about doing good and healing all. What are we to be doing?
Same thing.
We are to go about doing good and healing all. Now this earth and this world and these mess of humanity is not going about doing good. There's very few except that are in the church that are going about doing good. We're seeing a lot of craziness take place. Things that should not happen are happening. We've got fear running rampant. And we've got kids in high school trying to make policies.
Yeah.
And guess what? The politicians are listening. Now that's scary. They want to wipe out our Second Amendment, these kids that really know what they're doing. It's scary what we're allowing to lead.
Yeah.
here in this earth today, in America itself. We're allowing ungodly people to lead us, not us, but to lead this earth, to lead this nation. And the godly ones are the ones that are looked at like freaks. Our vice president, Mike Pence, was ridiculed because he said, here's what he said. Now, I can't quote it perfectly, but he said this paraphrased. Jesus speaks to me and tells me what to say. Now, we know that's biblical based on the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
All right. Which maybe he did not want to say Holy Ghost, because you know what they would have done then? They would have ripped him like a wild man.
Yeah.
They already did it with him referring to Jesus as being the one who talks to him. Now, do you know that how many people on TV have said God talks to them?
Yeah.
Every televangelist I've ever heard has God guides me. God talks to me. God tells me what to do.
Yeah.
But you know what? They just went right after the VP, right after him. And I thank God he wasn't afraid to, you know, be honest about his beliefs. Yeah. And we've got some godly men trying to lead. Unfortunately, the darkness is taking over. And we got to be real careful here. This is a very dangerous situation with these kids. It's very dangerous because you know what's guiding them? Music. What's guiding them? Video games. Things that are, and I don't remember the guy's name. I wish I did. He was a governor, and boy, he let it out. He said, it's these video games that are teaching kids how to kill. Now all they do is kill, kill, kill. And then they get online with about 100 other people, and they kill, kill, kill. They shoot everything up, and then they're listening to music, and then he started naming a couple things, and they're talking about murder and suicide.
Yeah.
He hit it right on the head. Same thing Reagan said. Okay? That's what's going on. And these kids are now, guess what I can do? I can make a threat.
Yep.
And they'll shut my school down. Accusations.
Well, they need to prosecute each one.
They are going to, I'm sure.
Well,
but see, this is see how serious this is?
Yeah,
and we're allowing these young people to actually guide our policies. Because their feelings are hurt. I pray for them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But it's scary what this generation is doing. It's scary what we've allowed this generation to do. And we've allowed them because, well, we want to be politically correct. And it's their right. Well, that's exactly what it is. You train up a child in the way they should go. We got fatherless homes. We got motherless homes. We got kids just being left on the street, left in orphanages, you know. No guidance, no parental guidance at all. You know, We need the Holy Ghost so bad, so bad. And yet our vice president gets ridiculed just because he says Jesus talks to him. Well, I know this. The Holy Spirit talks to me. He teaches me. He guides me. He brings me peace. He is my helper.
All right.
Tell me anything else. And guess what? I pray in other tongues.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say it. I don't have 1,000 people in my congregation, but I got the power of it. Right here. So, amen. And we're going to do, listen, I tell you something. You know, I thought about this. I'm going off for a minute, but bear with me. I thought about this the other day because I was listening. You know, Billy Graham, praise God. You know, he preached Jesus. He preached salvation. And he preached love. And that was it. Just the simple message of love, goodness, and Jesus. Salvation. Hey, he sold out stadium after stadium after stadium.
Yeah.
And thank God for his son. His son has picked up the ball. I mean, he preached right along with his daddy. Has picked up the ball and is running with it.
Yes.
Joel Osteen picked up the daddy's the baton from daddy. And he took off. He took the mantle and he took off with it. And he's still running today. And I thought about that to myself. I said, man, what if I would have said no to God? Last year, we got over 50 people born again.
Yeah.
So if I would have said no, those 50 people may have never met Jesus. It would have been on me.
That's right.
Amen? So that's serious. That's serious to me. That means, thank God, I didn't say no to God. Because a lot of people are out there saying no to God. And I don't, like I say, I don't have 100,000 people in my church. But guess what? I'm doing, you're doing what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
And that's all that matters. Until Jesus comes, we will be about the Father's business.
Right.
That's it. Amen. Yes. And that's what makes life worth it.
Amen.
That's why it's worth it to us to get out of bed, even when I don't feel good, and come up here and preach the word. Because when I preach the word, I feel great.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and take a nap. But praise God, it's worth it to us to stand in the face of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He says, "What did you? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I did." Amen. You got to talk loud because I can't hear. Praise God. Yeah, you got to get a little bit louder. I can't hear you over here. All right. So anyway, I did my rant. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what God did, He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about and did good and healed all. All who were oppressed of the devil. This earth is oppressed. Our young people are oppressed. Our young adults are oppressed. Parents and teachers are oppressed. There's oppression running through our colleges. It's amazing. And it's all over this nation. It's all over this nation. The Bible talks about that very clearly. That deep darkness. Darkness would cover the earth, but deep darkness, the people. I don't want deep darkness on me. Amen. That's why we shine our light. That's why we continue to shine our light. Amen. Now, we see that the disciples received power, right? Remember, they received the power of the Holy Spirit. They began to go out and do the work of the ministry. We've been told to do the same. We are disciples. We are anointed. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Ghost, right? We have the name of Jesus, right? Amen. So let's talk about that for a minute. Let's go to Acts 3. Acts 3. Excuse me. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here, but not much. Praise the Lord. Acts 3. Oh, boy. You almost have to really start in verse 1. Acts 3 and verse 1. Let's do that. All right. It says, Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said. So, Peter looked into this guy's soul. He looked right into him. And you know, I'll tell you something, when you flow in the Holy Spirit and you flow in the gifts, that happens to you. And you zero in. Because you're going to find out now why this oppression is there. Why this demon has plagued this man's life. And you're going to get that answer by the Holy Ghost. And guess what then you'll do? You'll cast it out.
That's right.
Amen. Well, they knew what to do. He was fixing his eyes, getting what the Spirit of God wanted to say. So he says this again. I'm going to read that again. He says, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, what did that just say? Expecting to receive something. He was looking for money, but he was expecting to receive something. Now, that's awesome. Did the Holy Spirit say he was expecting to receive money? No, he said something. That's the Holy Ghost. That's how awesome the Holy Ghost is. He wants us to understand that by faith, we've got to expect to receive something. It may not be what we exactly wanted, but it's going to be what God wants for you.
There it is.
But we just got to expect to receive something. So expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now that sounds like authority, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
And he used the full name. I mean, he could have kept going. But he used, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." You know, "Son of David." You know what I mean? He could have went off. You know what I mean? But he let it go there. But it sounds like authority to me. He said, in verse 7, it says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. This is what happens when you fix your eyes and the Spirit tells you what to do. What did the Spirit tell him to do? Grab him by his hand and pick him up. Yeah. Yeah, grab him by his hand and pick him up. So this is what the Spirit of God said for Peter and John to do. He said he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now this is so awesome. This is what I love. Verse 10 says, and then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Yeah.
Well, the guy was paralyzed last week. I bet you he was faking it. Now, you know that's what they would think today. Tell me I'm not right.
You're right.
Right? Yeah, they were standing on the corner trying to say they were broke, but now he's got a job. God will bless you.
Yeah.
But you know, when God blesses you, people like to ridicule you.
Oh, yeah.
They like to, oh, yeah. Why? Because they're so mad that you got it and they didn't.
Yeah. Come on.
They're envious. They're jealous.
Right. Yep, that's it.
It's terrible. And then guess what? Most of them are Christians.
Yeah.
They're family members. Lord have mercy, I hit the lotto.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'd have family.
Yeah.
But amen. I mean, it's a terrible thing to know that because you got blessed, someone else got mad.
Yep.
That you got blessed. Anyway, back to where I was. And all the people saw him walking, leaping, praising God. Then they, verse 10 again, knew that it was him who sat at the beautiful gate of temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter, I love it. See, they weren't going to let him go.
Yeah.
They did the same thing to Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
You see that here? He held on to him. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You just, I'm healed, man. You ain't going, we're tight. What do you need me to do for you?
Yeah.
You know, you want me to go get your dry cleaning? You know, you want me to go boil eggs or something for, I don't know, but whatever you need. I mean, that's the way he held on to Peter and John. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Now, this is a man of God. We're going to read what a real, true man of God does here. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us? As though by our own power or godliness, we had made this man to walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you.
Yeah.
And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead.
Awesome.
Which we are witnesses.
Amen. Praise God.
And his name. Everybody said his name?
His name.
And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes. The faith which comes through him, meaning Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all. Now, that's a man of God pointing to Jesus, pointing to the Father, saying, hey, don't look at us. Don't look at us like we're some godly thing and we have some great mighty power, even though they did have power.
Yeah.
They had the Holy Ghost and power. But what did they do? They put it right back to Jesus.
Amen.
This wasn't this was by the power of the faith in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Now that's a man of God. He didn't say, I got the gift of healing. Hallelujah. Did he?
No.
I've got the gift of tongues. Hallelujah. No. He didn't say any of that stuff. Even though he did. didn't he? Gifts of healings were working through him.
Amen.
Amen. We've got to remember who this is.
Amen.
This is the Spirit.
Yeah.
We can't deny him. We can't deny him his place.
Right.
We can. He. What does he do? He testifies of Jesus.
Yes.
Well, that would deny him his glory, then, wouldn't it?
That's right.
To give to the Lord. We can't do that. And I'll never do that.
No.
Trust me. You'll never see me go, hey, I got the gift. No, you don't. I mean, that'd be the first. I mean, thank God that our gifts and anointings are without reproach. But praise God, you know, that he won't take them away from us. But we sure better use them right. And we sure better honor God with it.
Yes.
And make sure that he's the one who receives the glory.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And honor him. And point to him, just as Peter and John did. They pointed to him. They needed this man and the crowd to know. Don't hold on to me. Remember, didn't Jesus say that same thing? Don't hold on to me, I've got to go. Didn't Jesus say the same thing? Yeah, let me go. Don't look, I got to go to my Father. And he just said, hey, I'm pointing to the Father. This ain't by our hand. This is faith in the name of Jesus. I saw him. I saw him crucified. I saw him raised from the dead. I'm testifying today of the resurrection of the Lord. Rise up and walk.
Amen.
And he did. Amen.
Yes.
Faith in the name of Jesus. Let's look at John 14. John 14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Let's start verse 12. This is Jesus talking. John 14, verse 12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. So we see then the power in the name, don't we? We see the power in the name of healing. We see the power in the name of anything we ask in his name. But faith in that name is where we've got to start. Faith in that name. I know that my Savior has been raised from the dead. I know that my Savior is seated at the right hand of God the Father. I know that I now have received the Holy Spirit and power. I know that I am saved, sanctified, set apart for a holy purpose. I know this.
Yes, praise God.
We all need to be able to say, I know this. I know why I'm here. I know what God has in store.
Amen.
For me. I don't have the whole picture. I can't take the whole picture. I don't know if I ever want to see the whole picture. But he gives me what I need when I fix my eyes on him.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where we've got to do. Just as Peter fixed his eyes on this man, we've got to fix our eyes on the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. And find out what he has for us. Because he's got something for you. I know he does. Or we wouldn't be here.
Right.
I've said it and said it and said it a million times. If we didn't have anything to do, we would not be here on this earth right now.
Right.
But we have things to do. We have things that God wants us to do. And whatever those things are, we can only get them by fixing our eyes on him and praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And he'll tell us. He'll tell us. Oh, he'll tell us. He'll tell us. And we have received power. We're to be doing what the disciples do. Right? Amen. But here's the thing, and this is very important. I love how the Holy Spirit pointed that out, how he was expecting to receive something. This is why I don't just pray for anybody who doesn't ask. Because if I pray for somebody who doesn't ask, they didn't ask me, are they even expecting anything from me? They may not be expecting anything from God. But when somebody comes up to me and says, like Gene did, Pastor, I need you to pray for me after service. Back's bothering me. you know, whatever. Yes, sir. Now I know he's got faith in what's going on. He's got faith in the name. He knows God will heal him through the laying on of hands.
Amen.
That's a done deal as far as I'm concerned. I don't have to do anything. It's just lay hands on the man. He'll receive.
Amen.
We've got to expect to receive. And we need, when we pray over someone, we need them to understand they've got to expect to receive.
Amen.
Amen. Right. All right. Unless they're dead. Then we just got to raise them up and then make them expect to receive. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at Acts 4. Acts 4. Hallelujah. All right. And what am I doing? Here we go. All right. Acts 4. Oh, let's start verse 32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. They gave witness to the resurrection. And with what? With great power. Now that's you and me.
Amen.
We have great power abiding in us.
Yes.
But it's how we release that power. It's how we activate that power. It's we've got to get in position to use or be used by that power.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So good. That power is powerful. It's great power. He said, Jesus, remember what Jesus said? He said, and greater works will you do?
That's right.
Yeah. Greater.
Yeah.
Okay. And great power. So in order for me to do greater works than Jesus, I need the same thing that he had.
Amen.
Well, who was that? The Holy Ghost.
That's right.
He got baptized with the Holy Spirit, who descended upon him like a dove while he was being baptized in water. Descended upon him like a dove. And he went about. And went about. Like Acts 10:38. That's where you see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. In that event, Acts 10:38 took place. And then he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Okay. Let's look at Acts 19. How are we doing? Oh, we're doing all right. I'm going further than I thought. Acts 19. Excuse me. All right. Let's see. Let's start in verse 4. Acts 19, verse 4. It says, then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. What was he doing? He was setting up the people, pointing at Jesus for them to begin to look to him, to look to him. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with what? Tongues and prophesied. What? So they just received power then, didn't they?
Praise God, yes.
Huh. Wait a minute. So Paul, who? God laid hands on him or Paul?
Paul
laid hands on him. What? Wait a minute. Paul laid hands on these guys and the Holy Spirit came upon them.
Amen.
They were obviously expecting something. Amen? They were expecting something. Let's look at, let's go to verse 11. Verse 11 says this. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Oh, can you just be so happy to say that God will work unusual miracles by your hands?
Amen.
Whoo! Working through you?
Yeah, glory.
Oh, come on, right? Glory. I mean, come on. All right, God. Okay, I'm in. Yeah, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them. And the evil spirits went out of them. Ha! Yeah. Well, so even the anointing cloths, right?
Yeah.
Even the handkerchiefs, because he was so full of power, he had activated that power properly.
Amen.
He pointed to the right power always. Yeah. Always pointed to the right Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
And therefore, he walked in a power. He walked in authority. And by his hands, God did great. Who did the miracles?
God
did, not Paul.
No.
The Holy Ghost is pointing this out. It was by the hands of Paul, but God did it.
Uh-huh.
What did he say? Come on, look at this again. Come on, verse 11. Yes. He says, now God worked unusual miracles, not Paul worked.
Right.
And this is where preachers are missing it. They're forgetting who's working these miracles. They're starting to forget. Whoa. Their heads are starting to expand. Haughtiness and pride begin to take over.
Yeah.
Well, what comes before a fall? Pride comes before a fall. Yeah. Always pointing to God. Always pointing to Jesus. Always pointing to the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. Always. Not by my hands. Even though it was by the hands of Paul, it was God that worked through him. Powerful. Love how the Holy Spirit's pointing this out. This is so mighty. Why? Because we have to have this knowledge in our heart.
Yes.
We have to know that, guess what? It isn't not me, it's God working through me. We have to know that. I know that. Because I know me. But I know my God.
That's right.
And if he can use a donkey, he can use me. If he can use a handkerchief, he can use me.
That's right?
Right? Yes. Amen. And I want him to use me just like that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I really want to keep reading. No. Let's move on. We got to get... All right. Romans 8. Everything's great. Romans 8. Hit it. Romans 8. Excuse me. All right. Romans 8. I'm just going to read verse 26. It says, likewise. Now, let's go to 24. It says, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope, or why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance.
Amen.
Likewise. The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind or plan of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit then... We see the Spirit helps in our weaknesses, whether they be physical, whether they be mental, or whether they be even moral. The Spirit can help in our weaknesses. All we got to do is pray. Pray what? Pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, he just told us, and we've read this a million times. We're going to read it a million more times. It is the Spirit himself making intercession on our behalf, according to the will of God for your life. It's for your life. And he's doing it for you. All you've got to do is turn on the faucet. Light the fuse. Whatever you got to do to get the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit through you, then you got to do. I don't know if it's putting on a little bit of light music and that help you get into the anointing and getting into praying in the Spirit. I don't know what your gig is. I can just roll right into it, and I like it that way. I do enjoy a little music sometimes. I don't want to hear words or anything. I like, you know, just instrumental, but I do enjoy that sometimes, you know, but whatever it is that you need to do to ignite the Holy Ghost in your life and in your prayer language, you got to find out what it is. You got to do it. You got to do it. I can't do it for you. Right? But you can. You can do it. And when you do this, Oh, he's making intercession on your behalf.
Amen.
According to the perfect will of God for your life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That, you can't beat that. Because I don't know what the perfect will of God is for my life. But the Spirit does.
That's right.
So if I pray in the Spirit, I'm actually praying the perfect will of God for my life. Woo, tilt. Right? But amen. There's my key, see, to finding out my path, to finding out my plan, to finding out what God has for me tomorrow. Maybe what God has for me in the year of 2018. It's bing, here it is. The light just went on.
Amen.
This is how I find out. Praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And you get the answer.
That's right.
He'll give you the answer. He'll give you the answer. Right? Amen. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians 5. This will be our last one. We'll be done. Galatians 5. Oh boy, I can't read all this right now. I'll tell you what. Here's what you need to read. Galatians 5. All of it. All of it. Just read Galatians 5. Yeah, you can keep going to Galatians 6. Finish it out. Okay. Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Well, let's go ahead and read for a little bit. Is that all right? All right. It says, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made you free.
Amen.
And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Praise God.
Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law. Just a sign in their body and they think they're justified by the law. You have fallen from grace, he says. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by what? By faith. By faith. Let's read that again. For we through the Spirit.
Yes.
For we through the Spirit now. Eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We are made righteous by faith.
Amen.
Pow. I got it out. All right. Verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love.
Right.
You ran well. Who hinders you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall hear his judge or bear his judgment, whoever he is. Do you understand what he just said? Man, I don't have enemies, but if they call me an enemy, I feel for them. They gotta be careful. We are so blessed.
Amen.
We are so enlightened. We have a covering on us that all can see.
Amen.
The covenant
yes.
is on us.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Whew. We are God's children.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are God's.
That's right.
He owns me. I've been bought and paid for with a price. It was a high price.
Yes.
The world needs to be very careful on how they're handling Christians. Anyway, all right, I'm going to leave it alone. All right. Verse 11 says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve yourself. Oh, that isn't what he says. He says, through love, serve one another.
Amen.
Serve one another. See, and this is what a marriage is.
Amen.
A marriage is love, right? Yes. We come together as love. As a married couple comes together, we come because we love one another. Then we come under the eyes and hands of God, who is love, right?
Yes.
And then what we do, excuse me, and then what we do then is we serve one another because of that love. Not because we want to get brownie points. Not because, oh, we want everybody to see how awesome we are. Because, you know, God works through me. Or look how good of a husband I am. I did the dishes. Dork, you dirtied them up. You should do the dishes, you know. I attempt the laundry every once in a while, but I'm not very good at laundry. And I don't fold. I do not know how to fold the way she does. I don't know how you do what you do. I don't know how they fold. I cannot fold. I mean, socks I can do. Just bowl them up, put them in the thing, you're good. But out of love, see, this is out of love. She serves me out of love, not because I'm mean or hateful or beat her up. No, the world does, though. The wives are serving their husbands out of fear, not love. Because a knucklehead will hit her. Yeah, or abuse her verbally.
Yeah.
So out of fear, she serves him. Oh, no. That's not how it's supposed to be.
That's right.
It's out of love. I was afraid of her, but then she started being nice to me. But no, it's out of love that I do what I do with her. I serve her. If she needs something, I try to do it. It really breaks my heart if I can't get her something for her birthday or get her something for Christmas or whatever. It does. Breaks my heart. Why? Because I want to, I want to show her how much I love her. Not just say, hey, I love you, babe. Bye. No. I want to show her. I want to prove it. Amen. And she does the same for me.
That's right.
And she always does. Amen. And that's what I'm talking about. And we serve in love. See, we serve by, we our faith worketh through love.
That's right.
Yeah. So praise God. Amen. All right. Let's see. All right. Verse 14. Oh, well. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, no. There it is. Right in the face again, isn't it? Right in the face. So, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another.
That's right. Whew. Yeah, it will happen.
So now you can look around in the world and you can see. You got the right biting the left. You got the left biting the right. And guess what? They are consuming one another. This is where our government is right now. It's a mess. Everybody's talking bad about one another, pointing fingers at one another. You can't say that Jesus talks to you or they'll ridicule you. Wow. We're seeing things, ladies and gentlemen, that, excuse me, that we're looking at in end times. We're beginning to see a lot more. Oh, faster and faster, right? It's accelerated so much. So we have got to not bite and devour one another. I mean, there's churches out there that bite and devour other churches. There's preachers, they call themselves preachers. There's pastors out there that are biting and devouring other pastors from the pulpit. Naming them by name. Naming their church by the name of the church. From the pulpit? Ladies and gentlemen, that's dangerous when you're in the house of God and this is his, not mine. This pulpit's his, not mine. Oh, ooh, man. Listen, we're supposed to love one another.
Amen.
And pastors especially.
Amen.
Pastors especially should show love and help one another. And amen, pray for one another.
Examples.
Rejoice with one another.
Yeah.
Sorrow with one another.
Yeah.
The word tells us to. Amen. We are a family of love, not a family of hate, not a family of bitterness, not a family of anger. We are a body, the body of Christ. We are a body of Faith Christian Center. The body of Faith Christian Center who loves one another. That when need help, thank you all for the food you blessed me with. Because she was working, I couldn't cook. I mean, I was horrible. I had laid there forever, seemed like. So thank you for the blessing of the food and everything. I mean, it was, praise the Lord. It was. It really, I mean, you don't know. Because I can't eat fast food. Or else I go, blink. So it's not a good thing. All right, we're going to close her down for today. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I wanted to say thank you anyway. I meant to do that. But, I tell you, you know, there's so much danger out there right now. And we've got parents that are scared to take their kids to school. ECOT just went down, which was a homeschooling. And we've got everybody screaming, just homeschool your kids from now on. So now out of fear, they don't even send their kids to school. Out of fear, they don't ever want to send them to school again. They'd rather homeschool them. That's not how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to protect our kids. Yes. It's our duty. It's our job. It's our government's job. It's who we pay these guys. Yeah. We pay this government to protect us. It's their job to go and watch over these schools. We got our military in every other country. It's too bad. It's too bad. We got a lot of veterans, retired veterans, that are still apt to work, physically strong, could probably go and get a job at the school working.
True.
And they're professional. They know how to operate in chaos. Arming a teacher? Are you crazy? What in the world? What? No, that's not their job. Their job's to teach. They can't even do that. They're going to arm a teacher? Not a good idea. Nope, that's my opinion. My 2 cents. I think I gave you 6 of them today. Praise the Lord, stay to your feet. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Father, thank you. For the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for working through us, for working unusual miracles, Father, through us. Thank you, Father, for watching over this nation and this body, the body of Faith Christian Center. And I pray, Father, that you watch over every household, every young person in every household, and that they are guarded and protected by your hand. I thank you for that, Father. I call for peace to be upon this family, the family of Faith Christian Center. I call this body, every member of this body, blessed in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and glory. We thank you for it. And Father God, we will always point to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed week.